And we got a special guest with us this morning, Brian Tamell, who's the Senior Executive Director of Public Affairs at the Associated General Contractors. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, Norman. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there for a Wednesday morning.
Well, I understand you got the new report out. And first, in terms of the jobs report, how is North Carolina doing with construction jobs?
Yeah, you know, it's a much like the rest of the country, the construction employment situation in North Carolina is a mixed bag. You've got some parts of the state that are adding jobs at a pretty steady clip. Charlotte, for example, added about 4,300 new construction jobs between October 2015 and October 2016, which is the newest available data. But you've got other places like Asheville and Burlington and Raleigh that all lost construction jobs over the last year. And that's pretty consistent, like I said, with what we've seen in this economic recovery that we're supposedly going through, is that it's an unsteady and an uneven recovery, and that an area of the country that's doing well 1 month, 2 or 3 months later is hurting again. And that's because we have kind of this mix of private sector demand that's kind of steady, and then in a lot of areas of the country, we've got state and local governments that are still pretty pressed, and they're having a hard time coming up with the money to rebuild schools or build roads or, you know, improve the water system.
Now, with interest rates going up, how will that affect the construction jobs?
You know, that's a good question. That will make the cost of, you know, so if you're a private developer and you want to finance a new office building or a new strip mall or even a new warehouse, it's going to make the cost of borrowing that money to pay for the new structure a little bit more expensive. So that could put a damper on the private sector demand, which has really been the segment of the market that has been carrying this recovery for the construction industry the last couple of years. The public sector funding, again, largely because the state and local budgets, has really been declining. We've seen a 2% drop in public sector investments in construction during the last year, while private sector investments is up about 2%. So if the cost of financing becomes a little more expensive, you might see a break on that private activity.
Overall, was this report good or a bad report for those who want to see full construction employment?
Well, again, it's a mixed bag. It really is a question of feast or famine. If you live in a market that's seen a lot of demand, again, like a Charlotte, you know, it's a pretty good time to be in the construction industry. But about a third of the nation's metro areas either lost construction jobs or didn't have any change in construction employment. So construction employment was stagnant in the market during the past year. And one of the things that we think will really help not just the construction industry, but the overall economy is if the incoming Trump administration is able to get in place some kind of new investments in our roads and bridges and water systems and schools like the president-elect has been talking about since before he was elected.
How do you see the potential Trump plan for infrastructure spending affecting jobs and the economy?
Well, it should help, and it'll help a couple ways, Norman. First of all, probably stating the obvious, it will put more construction workers back to work, especially in parts of the country that have seen job losses. And you've got to remember, these are high-paying jobs. They pay 10% more than the average job in the United States, and they're jobs that, by and large, don't require anyone to amass a bunch of college debt before they take them. So it'll help the construction industry. It'll help people who are working in related fields like quarries, equipment makers, the people who produce the hard hats and the reflective vests. But more broadly, it'll help the entire economy, Norman, because if you think about just about any business in the United States today, they're really dependent on having an efficient transportation system. Retailers, you know, have their goods that they're going to sell delivered, you know, almost minutes before they want to sell them. Factories, you know, they don't warehouse parts anymore in factories. The parts come almost minutes before they need to be on the assembly line. Or if you're a repairman or a service operator, the less time your vehicles are spent in traffic and the more time you're earning cash, the better your business does. So investing in this infrastructure will really give a big boost to our entire economy, not just a few of the metro areas.
My understanding is that there's a great need throughout the U.S. to fix roads, bridges, and highways. In general, what is the condition of our infrastructure? Have we been spending enough to keep the system in good shape?
Yeah, you know, the big challenge, Norman, is that we built in the middle of the last century essentially this world-class infrastructure, these great highways, clean water systems, beautiful school buildings, and they were designed to last about 40 to 50 years. But that was about 60 or 70 years ago, and a lot of our highways and public infrastructure, these civil works, they're past their design lifespan, and they're showing their age, and they're showing a lot of wear and tear. I think most of us can appreciate commutes now where we see rebar sticking out of the underside of bridges as we're driving through. So, you know, we have not been investing enough in our infrastructure, and frankly, we've created a lot of rules that make it hard to make those investments in infrastructure or drive up the cost of those investments, and that's why the American Society of Civil Engineers gives our public infrastructure in the United States a D+. And I don't know about your house, but if I came home with a D+ to mom and dad, I would have been in big trouble, and that's not the grade we want, and we certainly need to invest more and more wisely in our infrastructure to get it back up to a state of good repair.
Do you see our new president-elect, will he do away with some of those rules, you think?
We certainly hope so. We've provided the Trump administration transition team with a list of regulations that we think don't make a ton of sense and, frankly, just make it more expensive to build infrastructure. Now, we've already been pretty successful in Washington the past couple of years in doing away with a lot of the, I don't know how to call them, but sketchy programs that use gas tax dollars to build things like museums and you know, flower gardens, which may be wonderful, but shouldn't be paid for with transportation money. But certainly there are a lot of costly rules, and I'll give you a good example. It takes on average 13 years from concept to construction to get a new highway or an expanded highway project cleared by the federal government. It shouldn't take that long. We're actually proposing to the Trump administration, why don't we put like a 120-day timeline on these questions? They still ask tough questions, still really give a hard search, is this a good project? But, you know, let's not just sit and let that question sit on someone's desk for years, because that drives up the cost of projects. And I think most people start to think, well, the government can't do anything if they can't even decide if they're going to build a road or not. So, yes, we're optimistic. It's hard to kill a rule in Washington, but we think if anyone can do it, the president-elect can.
We're seeing conflicting ideas for how infrastructure spending should be funded by the government. What's your opinion?
Well, frankly, you know, we've seen a lot of talk in the last couple of months about what they call financing road projects, which is a nice way of saying put a toll on a road and have a private sector operator build the road and then get it paid for by collecting toll revenue. I think they're doing that or talking about doing that down in North Carolina on some projects, or doing it through bonding or tax credits. There's a role for that, especially in large urban areas that are already used to paying tolls. But there's a lot of the country that won't really benefit from just a financing program. And so we got to fund these projects. And we've got to be honest with the American people and say, hey, if you want good roads, if you want clean water, if you want nice school buildings, you may have to pay a little bit more about it. On the flip side, we'll be more efficient with that money. We're not going to waste it as much. We got to make these regulatory reforms. But we also have to be honest with people and say, if you don't want to be stuck in traffic every day, if you don't want to be detoured around a closed bridge, it might cost you 5 cents more a week to use this road. And I think at the national level, a lot of politicians have been a bit afraid to be honest with the American people about that.
A lot of politicians have lost their jobs in this area. And they're talking about more than 5 cents. If someone wants to find out more information about the jobs report, how can they do it?
Yeah, that's a great question. The best place to go is our website. It's www.agc.org. A for Associated, G for General, C for Contractors. So agc.org. Go right on the homepage. The jobs report information is right there in the news section. Just click on the link. It'll give you more information, or as much information as you hopefully need, and our contact info is right there, so call us if you need more.
Thanks, Brian, for being our guest this morning, and we hope that you'll come back again sometime.
Hey, Norman, it's always a pleasure. Appreciate you having me. Thank you.